Isaiah prophesies of one who will bring light and joy. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divided the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel for fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Let's sing our second carol. This may be one that's less familiar to some of you, though I think it is increasing in popularity. It's a 20th century one, but written in old style. Thou who was rich beyond all splendour, all for love's sake became his poor. The author, Frank Haughton, spent part of his life not very far from here as the vicar of the church in Drayton, just outside Banbury, but before that he had been a missionary overseas. But he's writing this hymn prompted by words of the Apostle Paul in Corinthians about how God, who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor. So let's sing this together.
An angel tells Joseph about Mary's baby. Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being just a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we have already heard of the remarkable prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ given through Isaiah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And we have read of how Joseph was encouraged, having heard that his betrothed wife was pregnant, to learn that, in fact, she had not been unfaithful, but this was a miraculous event. And we come this evening to offer up to you our thanksgiving and our worship for this miracle. Lord, we know that, rationally considered, we know that the things that are recorded defy the laws of science, and yet we also know that you, the living God, are the one who invented the rules of science, and you can override them at your will. And we thank you then for the record of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, born of a virgin, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law. And we praise you because we are ourselves a group of men and women and young people who need that salvation. We pray that you would impress upon our hearts that without the Lord Jesus Christ we are lost, and we need him to be our Saviour and our Lord. And we pray then that as we think about these things tonight, it would not just be a matter of annual tradition that we come to a carol service and sing familiar carols that speak of the mystery of God becoming flesh and dwelling among us, but we pray that you would impress upon our hearts that these things are true, that these things are real, that these things have an implication for us here even tonight. Mm-hmm. We thank you that we can meet so freely. We are mindful indeed that there are places in the world where Christians would hesitate very much to openly gather together to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus in this way. And we want to pray for those places in the world where there is persecution. We pray for Christians, in particular in such countries where they face very real threats to their lives if they openly testify to their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And also at this time, when we think of the angels proclaiming peace on earth and goodwill toward men, we pray once again for our world in all its brokenness, in all its conflict and strife. We pray for those parts of the world where there is still ongoing hostilities between different groups of people. And we pray that you would grant an end to these hostilities. We pray that there might be a measure of peace between man and man. And yet we know that ultimately the cause for these things is because man is not at peace with God. And so we do pray for the spread of the gospel in those places where there is bloodshed and warfare, that enemies might become united in Jesus Christ, to become brothers and sisters in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for each one who is here this evening, from the oldest to the youngest. And we thank you that the message of the gospel is for the very young and for the very old. We thank you that it is a message that is to be proclaimed to all. And we pray then that you would speak to each of our hearts here this evening. We pray for any who may have come in here willing to come because it's a carol service, but determined not to believe the gospel message. Lord, we cannot make them believe, but we know that your Holy Spirit is irresistible. And we pray then that by your irresistible grace, you would draw men and women, boys and girls, to yourself this evening. So, Lord, please continue with us as we further worship you together in song, as we hear the children singing now, as we consider these things together later. Lord, please continue to bless us and enrich us through this time, we pray. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, now it's time for the children to sing to us. So the children who are going to be singing would like to come to the front and stand in front of the board here. That would be really helpful. Get out of the way.
Luke records the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn.
Let's sing our next carol. Hark, the herald angels sing, to the glory to the newborn King, peace on earth, and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. You'll see this goes over the page of three verses altogether. Let's stand to sing.
The shepherds learn of the birth of Jesus from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Thanks be to God.
We're going to sing our next carol. We're going to be spending a bit of time thinking about this carol in my talk. Of course, I'd like you to be thinking about the words as you sing every single verse, but you might also like to consider the question, which of these verses is the odd one out? Have a think about that as we sing this through together. Which of these verses would you say is the odd one out? There are a couple of candidates, but I'll give you my reasoning later. Let's sing it. "Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship Christ, the newborn King." Stand aside. Well, those of you who've been with me in church the last couple of weeks will know we've been going through some of these Christmas carols to pick out some of the tremendous truths that are in them. And this carol that we've just sung is one that gives us really a whole breadth of the Christmas story. And I thought it'd be good just to think a little bit about this. And I'm going to ask some of the children, if they're willing to come up, to read something or show a picture and put it on the board for me. So... would someone like to come straight away? And are you coming, Ryan? Would you come? Oh, no. Okay. I thought you were being very brave and being the first one. Are you going to come, Jonathan? Yeah, well done. You like to pick up the top one. Can you read it out? Can you read the word? What's that sound? Read it. Open it off. What's that sound? Angels, that's right. Put it up as high as you can. I might have to put it up a little bit further for you. Do you want to get a... do you want to pick up that one as well, while you're there? And tell us what that's a picture of. It's that way up. What's that a picture of? Can you see?
Angels.
Angels, well done. It's a picture of angels. I've got that up on the board as well. Again, as high as you can. That's it, well done, right up there. Okay, so angels are the first people that are addressed in this carol, aren't they? Would somebody who's a good reader like to come and read something? James, would you like to come and take off the middle pile? And read it out nice and clear. So the top one, the middle pile there, that's it. And read it out nice and loud.
Now proclaim Messiah's birth.
Now proclaim Messiah's birth. Pop that up as high as you can. Well done, jolly good. Well, that phrase should be familiar with you all because we've sung it. It's at the end of the first verse there. And it's difficult to know, isn't it, whether the writer intended that to be just a statement that they are now proclaiming Messiah's birth, or whether it's telling the angels, come on, get on and proclaim Messiah's birth. I take it that way. That's why I put an exclamation mark at the end there. Proclaim Messiah's birth. Because they were sent to do that, weren't they? To the shepherds. And a well-known story, there were those shepherds outside Jerusalem. Beg your pardon, outside Bethlehem. And the angel appeared to them on his own, and then all of a sudden there was this great multitude of the heavenly host praising God and proclaiming that Jesus had indeed come to be the Saviour. They were worshipping him there from heaven, from the skies of heaven. Okay, let's have somebody who could just read out one word. Go on then, Josh. Just take the top one off the left-hand pile. That one, and what's that say? Go upside down, that's it.
Shepherds.
Shepherds, that's right, well done. Put that up there. Well done, thanks, Josh. Do you want to, we've already got the picture of the shepherds, look. It's there already, I was saving you a bit of space. So sorry, there's no picture for you to pick up, Josh. It's just, the shepherds are there with the back to us, and the angels, they're gazing up at the angels in amazement. Shepherds, okay. Somebody who's a good reader then, who could read something about the shepherds. One of the children. Would you like to come? Not sure. No? Sam, I think probably struggled to read the words. You can... Yeah, somebody at the back there. I see a hand waving. Well done, Samuel. Good man. The top one from the middle pile. Just read it out.
God with man is now residing.
That's it. Well done. And yeah, straight underneath there. God with man is now residing. Thank you, Samuel. So God has come down, and this is something we've thought of in the last few weeks, how remarkable it is that this baby that was born in Bethlehem is not just a man, not just human, he is truly God. And we sang that together, didn't we? God with man is now residing. And we were, as it were, in our songs, it's as though we were telling the shepherds, using the words really of the angels, God has come down. And what's going to be their response? Well, we know what their response was. We had it read to us earlier. It was at least twofold, wasn't it? They went and told everybody else what they'd heard about this baby, and they glorified and they praised God for the gift of this amazing baby. So there they were, an ordinary night, as they thought, just getting on with looking after the sheep. But the angel of the Lord came down, and their lives were never the same again when they realized that God had come down to earth. All right. Okay, we need somebody to just pick up the title for the next one. So it was okay. So, go together. Yeah. Do you want to come, Olita, and with Ava as well? Yeah, you come as well, Olita, if you like to. No, not sure. Yeah, are you coming? Yeah, you come. You go to Ava. If you pick up the little one on the right, on the far side, pick up that one. Are you a good reader? I think you are, aren't you? So you stay here for a moment. And can you read? Yes.
Sages.
Sages. What are sages? Do you know? No. Who can help Ava? What are sages? What are sages? Wise men. Okay, that's a funny name for the wise men. Do you want to put that up on the board? Right up as high as you can. That's it. Well done. Well done. That's good. And then only, actually, you could read this one out. Do you want to? Okay, you go back if you like, yeah. But don't mind. Getting a bit of muddle, aren't we? Okay, can you read that out for us? Read it out nice and loud. Read it. Yeah. Hold my hand, what do you say? So that's sinking. Can you stand there? You're struggling. You don't want to do it. No? Okay, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, don't worry. Would somebody else like to read it out? No? Oh, reduced to doing it myself so early on. Seek the great desire of nations. We read that. I wonder if as you were taking notice, I'm sure, of what I said before we sang, that you needed to be thinking about what you're singing. Did you really wonder about this expression? Seek the great desire of nations? What's that even mean? Where does it come in the Bible? Can anybody help me? It is a Bible phrase. The desire of nations shall come. I'm not just asking the children. I'm asking everybody. Will somebody tell me? Please. Isaiah is usually a fairly good bet. A nice big prophecy. And we know that it's... But no, it wasn't Isaiah. It wasn't Isaiah. It wasn't Isaiah. It's a prophet, if you don't know, you're unlikely to guess. It's the prophet Haggai, tucked away towards the end of the New Testament. And he prophesied, the desire of nations shall come. And most commentators do take that to mean, to referring to Jesus coming. Why is he described as the desire of nations? Well, my guess is that most of us here are not Jewish. If you are, that's fine. But I would guess, statistically, it's unlikely that many of us here are Jewish. And yet we're here celebrating the birth of a Jewish baby. Because he is a baby for all the nations. And all the nations should want to know him. He is the desire of the nations. Every nation should want to know Jesus as the Saviour. Whatever nationality you're from, and we've got a good number of nationalities here, so whatever nationality you're from, Jesus is the Saviour that you need. I did have a picture to put up for the wise men. Would Oli like to put up the picture or not? Perhaps not. Anybody like to just put up a picture? No? Would you like to? Come on, yeah. This one. Perhaps you hold it up and say what you think it is. What is that picture? What do you see? What's that picture of? What are these?
It's the wise men on their camels, isn't it? Pop it up there then. Well done, let's put it over this side actually. Thank you very much, Verity. There we are, that's the wise men. They
heard the message, they came to seek. They came from far across in the east. We don't exactly know what country they came from. Some suggest they may have come from what is modern-day Iran. Some say they might have come even further. We don't exactly know. But they were coming to seek the great desire of nations. That's what the hymn is, as it were, telling them to do. And we know that is what they did. Okay. I think I'm struggling to get volunteers this evening. So Zoe's definitely doesn't want to. No? No? Okay. Not to worry. Anybody else want to read something out or put up a picture? Yeah, we've got one at the back. Come on. Well done, Joseph. What are you going to do? You going to read something out for us?
Who do you think that might be? To be honest, you're not going to guess, I think.
Simeon? It's Simeon. Well done. Thank you, Joseph. Well, I think what you could do.
Pop that one up on just about it then. That's it. Put it there.
All right, Simeon. Thank you, Joseph, very much. Saints before the altar bending. In verse 4, is referring to Simeon and Anna, two elderly people who were waiting for the Messiah to come. And Simeon in particular had been told by God that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. But we sang together, didn't we? Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Put that up on the board. Watching long in hope and fear. They were looking forward with hope because they believed that God was going to send a saviour. They feared, perhaps Anna particularly, feared that she might not live to see this saviour. She was a very old lady. We know that from what Luke tells us in his gospel. But there they were, waiting for the saviour to come. And this Christmas time, are you really wanting to think about the fact that Jesus truly came? When he came, they worshipped, didn't they? They praised God for what they'd seen. Simeon took the baby up in his arms and expressed to God his thankfulness that he had lived to see the birth of the infant Saviour. All right, I have just one more picture. And so I've got one right at the very back. Well, I've got two pictures, at least, two items at least. So, yeah, somebody at the back. Is that Kia coming? That's it. That's it. I'm going to pick up this one here.
That's a bit of a funny picture. That's a picture. Come see.
It is a funny picture, isn't it?
It's a man.
I'll tell everybody. Shall I hold it up high so you can see it? That's it. Right, it's a man with his head in his hands. He looks really, really sad, doesn't he? All right, pop it on the board there.
Pick up that other one, the little one. Put that there if you would.
That's right. And he's a sinner, okay? Here's a picture of a sinner. All right, thank you, Gia. Now sit back down. That's good. Thank you. All right. We read in the last verse, sinners, wrung with true repentance, doomed for guilt to endless pains. James, would you like to come up and read the last little phrase for us? Oh, whoops, sorry.
Mercy calls you, break your chains.
Mercy calls you, break your chains. That's it, well done. Thank you, boys. Mercy calls you, break your chains. This is where it really comes home to us. I'm going to go back to what I asked you earlier. Which is the odd verse out in this hymn? Any suggestions? What you think is the odd verse out? What was your first thought? has the odd verse out here.
Verse 5.
Okay, Philip says verse 5. Did anybody else have a different suggestion?
The angels.
Who?
The angels.
The angels, okay. Verse 1 is the other candidate for being the odd one. All the rest are talking about human people, shepherds, wise men, saints, and sinners. And I'd say the angels are the odd ones out there. They're the ones up in the skies praising God. But I also actually agree with Philip. The angels, the shepherds, the wise men and the saints were all there when it actually happened. And then in the last verse here, the hymn writer James Montgomery is pressing the point home to you and to me and saying this is why it all really matters. This isn't just a sort of fancy fairy story that we remember every year. This is something that addresses you and your need of this saviour. So he addresses us as sinners. None of us really like being called sinners because we like to think we're basically good people. But the Bible is clear we are sinners, and if we're honest with ourselves, we will recognise that we are sinful people. We've done things that are wrong. We need a saviour. And so the hymn writer addresses us and says, although you're doomed for guilt, endless pains, because of your sin you deserve God's punishment, justice has revoked the sentence. Justice has issued a pardon to you, the hymn writer says. If you're trusting in Jesus, mercy calls you, break your chains. If you're trusting in Jesus, your sins are forgiven. You're no longer under the threat of God's justice being poured out on your head, because this baby, when he grew up, ended up on a cross and died, paying the punishment for the sins of all those who would ever come to trust in him. Well, what is your response to what we've thought about this evening? The angels. As we sang that verse, we ended by saying, come and worship Christ, the newborn King. The shepherds, the wise men, the saints. Each time we ended the verse by saying, come and worship Christ, the newborn King. And if you realise this evening that you are a sinner in need of a saviour, and you put your trust in him and God's Holy Spirit fills your heart with that sense of wonder that God has given his son to be your saviour, then surely you too will want to come and worship Christ, the newborn King. And that's my last little panel there. Worship Christ, the newborn King. The angels worship from heaven. The shepherds, the wise men, and the saints in the temple, they worshipped Jesus as they were there. 2,000 years on, we are called ourselves to worship Jesus, the King of all those who will trust in him and the Saviour that we all need. Well, in a moment we're going to sing our last carol, but I encourage you to carry on thinking about these things. I'll leave the panel up on the board there and you can have a look afterwards if you want to. Before we sing this carol, let me just mention we've got some light refreshments afterwards. Now, we did find last year with so many people in a fairly small room, it was a bit chaotic. So we've arranged this time for folk to bring trays of refreshments down the aisle. So if you could stay in your seats until the servers have come through. If you don't want any refreshments, you don't need to take them. And of course, once the servers come through, you're free to leave. But we'd encourage you to stay and have a chat if you can. But we thought that might be a safer way of organising things than we did last year. So if you could take your seats again after I've pronounced the closing prayer, then I'll say the servers will bring things around on trays, just nibbles and things for you to share. But let's sing our last carol, which again is encouraging us to come and adore him. And I remind you that the word adore, which often nowadays just means love very much, actually has the idea of worship. Come and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, come all ye faithful. Let's stand to sing this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.